already become traditional over the last, I don't know how many years. How many years you're doing this, Phil?
20? 18?
Why didn't you invite me the other years?
I didn't know you.
I think I've been coming here for about the last 10. Is it 10 years?
Exactly how many times we've had this?
Exactly how many times?
That's it.
10 years. 10 years. At 8:30. Don't let anybody dare have the 8:30 slot. That's been my slot for these 10 years. And I think that over the last number of years, what has developed is that I speak about the Sedras, those parashiot that are toward the end of Torah. Because those are the parashiot that we have difficulty learning because there are all sorts of things happening. Nobody is saying shiurim. And of course we speak about contemporary issues that emerge from a study of those parashiot. I may want to remind you of something that has become a theme over the course of the last number of years, and it's a theme that, as far as I'm concerned, has become even more intense with me during the course of the last few weeks. And the story goes so. In Shul, Kehilat Zichron Yosef, and of all things, my president is here this evening, and rabbis are nice to their presidents. Tzvi Sen, president, I'm very happy to see him here this evening. So I'm also going to watch myself. Who else? Somebody else here? Oh, we have members of the congregation. Bela, I don't, you know, just plain members are not presidents. We don't point out just plain members. One of the themes that I have kept throwing in over the course of the last few years, and it's something that became traditional by me in Shul, is that every year I, at least for 5 years now, it's been that I speak about the first Rashi in Vayelech. Parashat Vayelech. The first pasuk in Vayelech is Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went, Vayedaber et hadvarim ha'ele el b'nei Yisrael, and he said the following things to the children of Israel. Now Rashi, it's the Rashi on Vayelech, where Rashi says the following. Vayelech Moshe. In other words, all that Rashi does is he repeats the first two words of the pasuk, Vayelech Moshe, and then Rashi, in some chumashim you will find Vagomer, etc. And a number of years ago I became very fascinated by this Rashi. What's Rashi saying? Rashi is not commenting, Rashi isn't elaborating, Rashi is not clarifying. All that Rashi is doing is repeating the words in the pasuk, Vayelech Moshe, and all that Rashi says is Vagomer, you know, etc. So I've made this a something that I've dealt with now for a number of years, and every year I come up with a new pshat in the Rashi, and of course every year as I come up with a new pshat in the Rashi, I become nervous, tense, and worried. What about next year, Emir Tashem, will I come up with another pshat? I mean, I hope to keep vayelaching at Me'ev Eschim Shana. You have to come up with a lot of pshatim. But we'll worry about that later. But I do want to share with you the fact that over the years, I have taken a degree of abuse. I had some fella in my house a few years ago, and I told him this great pshat that I came up with on Vayelech Moshe. And he started laughing at me. The printer put it in. It's meaningless. What do you talk? You're making all of these big Torahs just because a printer put in Vayelech Moshe and etc. Vagomer. Well, come on. You know, be realistic. I didn't feel too good. And then I think I spoke about it 2 years ago at here, Hoshana Rabbah at night, and recently I gave a neighbor of mine a tape of that shiur on Vayelech Moshe. And he listened to the tape. You know, most people that I give tapes to, I don't know if they ever listen to it, but he sees he listened to it. And he said, well, the ideas were nice, but You can't. The Rashi, I mean, that's nothing. The printer, you know. So here I've had to take this abuse, and I'm so excited about this Rashi. And then a week ago, a week and a half ago, my fax machine starts clicking away. And do you know what comes out of my fax? A friend of mine in Ranana, Rabbi Shmuel Weiss from Ranana, sends me a fax. And I read the fax, and I don't know what to say. I'm thrilled, I'm excited, I'm overwhelmed. He sends me a fax of a page from an English translation of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, his Perush on Chumash. And there Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Vayelech Moshe, he begins by saying, my, what an unusual Rashi that is at the beginning of Vayelech, where Rashi says two words and doesn't elaborate. I mean, I was thrilled. I jumped for joy. I made a few copies of this Xerox, of this fax. I Xerox the fax. I'm telling you, my Zayda would never understand a word. And I took it with me to shul. Helfte Rabbeinu Shalalam, 7 o'clock in the morning, the fellow who abused me 5 years ago comes in for shacharis. Now, here was great self-control. I waited until davening was all over. I didn't want to upset his davening, and I come over and I tell him, read this. I don't have to describe. I think he's still, we scraped him off the floor of the shul already. I think, yeah. But he took it very well. He started smiling, and he said, well, you know, Rabbi Feinstein is Rabbi Feinstein. And I've already gotten the Xerox of the facts to other people who abused me over the last few years. So therefore, I just want you to know that by the time I get to the noob shot in Vayelech Moshe this year, don't anybody for a moment think that I am sort of just overwhelming Rashi and taking a Rashi that is really nothing but the printer. That Misha didn't take it that way, and I certainly don't take it that way. Over the years, I've said a number of pshatim, and I think that they're all great. Rav Misha's a different pshat. We'll give you that quickly as well, because I even have proof that Rav Misha said that he was right. I had said over the years, one pshat was, 1 year I spoke about the idea that there's a difference between man and angel. The Rabbeinu Shlalom says, I mean, obviously there's a difference between man and angel. I mean, that's obvious. However, the way it's expressed in Tanakh, in Sefer Zechariah, God says to the Navi, Zechariah, V'natati lecha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. He's standing amongst the angels, and God says, I am going to give you mahalchim, you will walk amidst those who are stationary, the angels who are stationary. So the Balei HaKabbalah and Balei Hasidus explain an angel is called an omed, because he's stationary, he doesn't move. There's no place for growth or for development. Whatever the angel was at creation when God made him, that's what he will remain forever. He's not endowed with free will. There's no place for him to go, neither up nor down. A man is called a holech. A man moves, goes. Man can grow. He can develop. He can make of himself a great deal more than he is at any moment in life. He can also go down as well. But the difference between the two is, angel is an omed, he is stationary, man is a holech. So I said, you know what Rashi is telling us? Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, and he spoke to the children of Israel, and the fact is, of all things, the very next pasuk in Vayelech is, Vayomer Aleim, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I cannot go or come anymore. Which of course makes the Vayelech Moshe even more difficult to understand. Moshe is not going anyplace. It's the last day of his life. So why does the Torah say Vayelech Moshe and Moshe went? Where is he going? So I wanted to say that what Rashi wants to point out is the essence, the essential nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a holech. He grows every moment of his life, and he's going to continue growing until the last moment of his life. It doesn't change on the last day. Vayelech Moshe, Moshe continues to go, to grow, to develop, to gain a greater knowledge of God, a greater love and a fear of God. Moshe never remains stationary. It's the story of constant growth. Vayelech Moshe, and on that very last day of his life, Moshe went, v'gomer, etc., 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 until the last moment of his life. That was one shot. I like that one. By the way, I like them all. You're right. There's a second one that I said, and this was 2 or 3 years ago, and that came with a little personal story. By the way, I want to get them all down on tape now, and I'm just using all of you here. Yeah. Not abusing you. I was in the early years of my career in public life. I was a yeshiva in Toronto, Yeshiva Ner Yisrael. Started the yeshiva in 1959, and it was now 1962. There were about 50, 60 students in the high school of the yeshiva, and there were some 40, 50 elder abachrim in. And news reaches us in Toronto that Rav Aaron Kotler, Gadol b'Yisrael, had passed away. And I sort of deliberated. I had a terrible sense of, should I go to the Levaya or shouldn't I go to the Levaya? Those were still the years when I considered, you know, we all go through a period in life where we consider ourselves indispensable. So then I was still living with the illusion that I'm indispensable, and if I leave the yeshiva for a day or two, everything's going to fall apart. Most probably it would have. The kids wouldn't be learning, you know, and here I start thinking to myself, well, you know, the silly cheshbon, what would Rav Aaron have wanted me to do? Understand? And I started convincing myself that Rav Aaron would have wanted me to stand here and remain at my post and make sure that the kids study Torah. You know, all of those Nagasha Cheshbainis. And when I heard from the Yot that the Levaya was over, I went into a fit of depression. And I thought to myself, what a silly, silly thing. A Gadol b'Yisrael has passed from the world. Pick yourself up. And you go to New York, and you go to the Levaya, and if kids in the yeshiva are not going to learn because the Rebbe went to the Levaya of a Gadol b'Yisrael, that's education. That's real chinuch. So I was beside myself. I was beside myself, and I met a Jew in Toronto by the name of Avram Parshani, Zechuveinu Lebracha, Chassidus Yid, and he sees me that I'm looking very upset. And he asked me what I'm upset about. So I told him, listen, I should have gone to the Levaya and I didn't go. I didn't go. And I feel it was foolish that I didn't go. So he tells me the following, and that has always made an indelible impression on me. He said to me, I also wanted to go to the Levaya, and my doctor told me that I'm not well enough to travel. So you know what I did? I got into my car, and I drove to the airport, and I came back. My responsibility is to do as much as I can. Doctor says I can't go to the Levaya, yeah, but I can go to the airport and come back. Vayelech Moshe, the Rabbeinu Shalom has told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. But you know what Moshe is going to do? He's going to go as far as he can to the Yarden. Vayelech Moshe, on the last day of his life, he's going to go, and he's going to go, Rabbeinu Shleilam, when you stop me, that's when I stop. Before that, I continue going. Vayelech Moshe, etc., etc. He keeps moving on the very last day of his life. Pshat 2. Pshat 3 is really related to a much larger shiur that I don't think I said here, but I did say it in South Africa, in Johannesburg, just a few weeks ago. I was there long enough to pick up the accent. The truth is that you pick up accents of all sorts right here in Eretz Yisrael, because I'll tell you, I could have lived my whole life in West Hampstead and never heard a South African, or an Australian for that matter. And in Baruch Hashem over here, you have Jews from so many countries in the world. And then, of course, I listen to my grandchildren speaking Israeli, you know, that's pretty funny, you understand. My elder Zayda spoke better English than they do. But all right, it's so cute. I had once, the basic thrust of the shiur over there, and I feel badly, there are some people here who heard the shiur in South Africa, and I'm going to take this shiur of an hour and I'm going to condense it into 1 minute. So basically the thrust of the shiur was that Jewish history is unique. It's different than all other history. Jewish history has a goal and an objective, and therefore inexorably and inevitably, the Jewish people are going to march forward in history, because the destination and the destiny has already been determined all the way back there. Jewish history doesn't work chronologically, cause and effect, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Jewish history is determined by the ultimate goal and the objective. So I said the following. Very beautiful Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara says the following, that when Haman drew lots to figure out what month, in which month to destroy the Jewish people, and it came out that it was the month of Adar, so the Gemara says, Somach Simcha Gedola, he was very, very happy. He was very thrilled. Why? Because that was the year, it was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Now listen to the next line in the Gemara. V'lo haviyada, but Haman didn't know that Bezayin Ba'adar, on the 7th of Adar, Moshe died, and on the 7th of Adar, Moshe was born. Usually the pshat in the Gemara is that, listen, you know, he was born in Adar and he died in Adar. And he didn't know that. So the pshat that's usually said is the tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu memaleh shnoseim, they have complete years. But wait a minute. By the way, here is another thing where I took abuse for many years. And here I took even more abuse. I asked on the Gemara, there's something wrong in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lo haviyada, Haman didn't know that on the 7th of Adar Moshe died, and on the 7th of Adar, Moshe was born. Shouldn't the order of the Gemara have been precisely the opposite? Shouldn't the Gemara have said that B'Zayin Ba'adar, Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar, and Moshe died on the 7th of Adar? So I said a pshat. Haman, he knew when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Just like he knew when Moshe Rabbeinu died. Who told him? I mean, how did he know? Whoever was in charge of his Jewish desk, Dennis Ross, told him that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar and died on the 7th of Adar. V'lo haviyada, you know what he didn't know? What he didn't know is that on the 7th of Adar that Moshe died, on that day he was born for eternity, because death does not apply to Moshe. You think Moshe died on the 7th of Adar? On that day he was born for all time. Haman and the Hamans of this world think that there's a possibility of death applying to the Jewish people, but it isn't. It can't be. Because our history is determined by Rabbeinu Shalaylov. By virtue of the fact that we are one with God and Torah, we are an eternal people. Haman knew that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar and died on the 7th of Adar, but he thought that the crucial date is the day of his death. V'lo havayada, the Gemara says, he didn't know that on the 7th of Adar Moshe died, and on that self-same day he became born for all time. So I said, pshat number 3, Vayelech Moshe, Rashi says, V'gomer, Moshe keeps marching on into history. Moshe's life does not end on the day of his death, just as Jewish history does not end with some kind of overwhelming tragedy that brings destruction upon us. It doesn't end. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe keeps going. Moshe keeps going. The Gomer throughout all of history. Reb Moshe, of all things, Reb Moshe, on this Vayelech Moshe, Reb Moshe takes a different look. I'm looking at it from the point of view of Moshe. He looks at it from the point of view of Klal Yisrael. And Reb Moshe says the following, Vayelech Moshe, from the perspective of the Jewish people, Moshe is going away from this world. But in terms of Moshe himself, and I imagine that Moshe really is referring to the idea, Gemara says that just like Moshe was omed umeshamesh lemato, he served God here, he serves God up there. Moshe Rabbeinu continues to serve God. And then at one point, Rav Moshe even seems to be saying further, that Moshe continues to serve by virtue of the fact that who takes over after him? Yehoshua. What is Yehoshua? Yehoshua is the alter ego of Moshe. He is Moshe. And Rav Moshe quotes the... by the way, I think Rav Moshe was born on Zion Adar. His Levaya was in Yerushalayim and Purim. You remember there was Purim in... So Rav Moshe says that from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, they should have understood that even if Moshe passes from the scene, but he continues to live through Yehoshua. Yehoshua, as the Gemara says, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama, the face of Moshe was the face of the sun, and the face of Yehoshua was the face of the moon. The reflected greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was evident in Yehoshua. So therefore, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe's not going anyplace. He keeps going. And I wanted to bring a proof to the words of Rav Moshe, and it's a Rashi. Let me see if I find it. It's a Rashi at the end of Pasha Vayelech, and this is fascinating. In other words, exactly what Rav Moshe is saying on Vayelech Moshe, the Rashi at the beginning of the Sedra, is so beautifully pointed out at the end of the Sedra. Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of Pasha Vayelech, Ki yodati, because I know that acharei moti, after my death, ki hashchet tashchitun, v'sartem min haderech hashitziviti etchem. I know that after I die, you are going to sin. You're going to turn away from the path that I have commanded you. So Rashi is troubled about the fact that Jews did not begin to turn away from God after the death of Moshe. The first beginnings were after the death of Yehoshua, says Rashi, V'harei kol yemot Yehoshua, the last Rashi in Vayelech. In other words, I am bringing together the first Rashi in Vayelech with the last Rashi in Vayelech. The last Rashi says, V'harei kol yemot Yehoshua lo yishchitu, all the days of Yehoshua, they didn't sin. Shenemar, as it says, V'yavo Yisrael at Hashem kol yemei Yehoshua. Israel served God all the days of Yehoshua. Mikan, From here we learn that a person's student is as beloved to him as himself, because man she yotshu achai, as long as Yotshu was alive, Moshe saw himself as though he is alive. And therefore he says, after my death, you will sin. It means after the death of Yotshua. By the way, we could even say another pshat of so, in Vayelech Moshe, Moshe sees himself continuing to live through Yehoshua. Yehoshua, not only is Yehoshua the alter ego of Moshe, Moshe sees Yehoshua as his great representative, the Talmid who is Chaviv Olav, who is beloved by him more than any other. So I think we've now done four pshatim on Vayelech Moshe, and then I came up with Rabbeinu Shlilim. I came up with a new one. There's a little bit of a story now to the new one. It's really based on what I said in shul after Kol Nidre. This year I came across a medrash that simply has shaken me and continues to shake me. And of all things, yesterday I was invited to the sukkah of Rav Avram Shapira Shlita, and there were three or four of us. I was invited to be there when our Prime Minister, Reb Binyamin Netanyahu, came to visit him, and we spent about three quarters of an hour together. Toward the end of our meeting with the Prime Minister, I told him the medrash. I told him, I want to share a medrash with you. You're going to Washington this week. Take the medrash with you. There was some fascinating discussion, of course. The gathering in the sukkah began on an extremely unhappy note. The word had first come then of the Chayelet Nebuch, who was killed yesterday, and the press who moved in on the sukkah wanted the response or the reaction of the Prime Minister, and of course he spoke well of the pain, and this cannot continue, it was a terrible thing. Then he went on to tell us about the most recent visit of Madeleine Albright and Dennis Ross to Yerushalayim. He says that there was one positive aspect to this whole visit, and the most positive aspect of the visit is the fact that Madeleine Albright and Dennis Ross ate in his sukkah. He doesn't know if they've ever eaten in a sukkah before, but they ate in his sukkah, and they fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. And he says he doesn't even mind if they come back for Hanukkah candle lighting, you know, they can keep coming back again. And of course from there it went on to, well, you know, they can even hear the Megillah in Yerushalayim for all we care. Yeah. I mean, somebody in shul said, you know, they can come back for Shlug and Kapunas if we need Kapunas next year. Right? Okay. So I felt that I wanted to say this medrash. I wanted to tell the Prime Minister this medrash. Medrash says the following. It's a medrash at the beginning of Eicha, Kishechorav Bet HaMikdash, when the Bet HaMikdash was in the process of being destroyed. Hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boche VeOmer, God cried and said, Bonai Heichan Atem, my children, where are you? Kohanai Heichan Atem, my priests, where are you? O Havai, those who love me, Heichan Atem, where are you? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYirmiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyahu, Ani Doma Hayom, this is very, very, very painful. On the day of the Churban, the Rebbeinu Shem says, Ani Doma Hayom LaAdam, Shehoya Lo Ben Yechidi, I am like a man who had one and only child, V'osa Lo Chupa, and he made a chupa for him, who made B'toh Chupato. the one and only child died at the chuppah. Frightening. This is how the Rabbeinu Shlomo describes his feeling on the day of the Korban, to Yirmiyahu. So therefore the Rabbeinu Shlomo says, Lechu krol Avram Yitzchok Yaakov. Moshe mikivdeim, go call Tavron, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Moshe from their graves. Shehen yodim lishkot. They know how to cry. Miyad. Holach Yirmiyahu lema'arat ha'machpelah. Immediately, Yirmiyahu went to the ma'arat ha'machpelah. Va'omar la'avot ha'olam. And he said to the patriarchs of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Imdu, get up. Shehigi hazman. Sha'atem mitbakshim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The time has arrived that you are being called to stand before the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Amru lo, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov said to him, Lama, why? Why does the Rabbeinu Shlomo want us? Listen to this. Amar lahem, Yirmiyahu said, Eini yodea. I don't know. No. If the Medrash would have stopped right here, then I could possibly excuse the white lie. Yirmiyahu is not saying the truth. No, let's be very brutal about it. Yirmiyahu is lying. Nevi'im don't lie. Now, if the Medrash would have stopped here, I could say that Yirmiyahu may very well base himself on a Gemara at the beginning of the Masechet Pesachim that says you don't have to be the bearer of ill tidings. Motzi Diba Huxil, the one who passes on bad tidings, is a fool. You don't have to say bad tidings. I could have explained Yirmiyahu as saying, listen, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I don't have to tell them that you're doing the Churban. You want to tell them, you tell them. But that's not where the Medrash ends. The Medrash said, Amar lahem Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu said, Eini yodea, I don't know why God wants you. Shehayom mityarei, because he was afraid. Do you know what he was afraid of? Shelo yomru lo, they shouldn't say to him, Biyomecha haita libaneinu zot, this happened to our children in your days? In your days it happened? What is it that shook me about the Medrash? From time to time I've said that we live in very historic times, times of crisis. And we have to be concerned about the judgment of history. Our grandchildren will ask us, and I've said this on a number of occasions, our grandchildren are going to ask us, Saba, you were there when they wanted to divide Yerushalayim, Rachman, and so what did you do about it? You were there, what did you do? Yirmiyahu is not afraid of what his grandchildren are going to say. You know what Yirmiyahu is concerned about? What are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What are the Zaydis going to say about him? What will all of history say about him? What will all of the generations of Jews who preceded him say about him? I said to Rabbi Yamin, you carry an awesome historic responsibility on your shoulders. And you have been carrying it with great strength and great pride. The question is not what your children, Yair and Avner, are going to ask you in 20 years from now. We were sitting in the sukkah, and the sukkah had the names of all of the Ushpizin. I said, you know what the question is? What about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David? What about 3,500 years of Jewish history? What will Klal Yisrael say? They're going with you to Washington. We don't wait for the judgment of history, what our grandchildren will say about us. The judgment of history is instant. Now, here and now, what am I going to do? What would Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov say? Yirmiyahu is frightened that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to say to him, Biyomecha, in your days, Haita lebaneinu zot, this happened to our children in your days. Frightening, frightening, frightening Medrash. The fact is, in one of his shiurim, Rav Soloveitchik brings the Tzadik Levavda, the Chov, just as an elaboration and understanding of this matter, she writes that when he was a little boy, he had a Rebbe. His Rebbe was a Chosid Chabad. His Melamed was a Chabadske Chosid. So he says that before Tisha B'Av, the Rebbe learned with them a Medrash in Eicha, where it says, Nichnasu Oivim Lehechol V'Sorfuhu. The enemy already came into the temple and destroyed it and burned it. V'Kima Shinisraf. Once it was burned, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shuv Ein Li Moshav Ba'aretz, I have no place anymore to dwell on the face of this earth. Asalek Shkinati Mimena, I will remove my divine presence. Ve'elel L'Mechoni Arishan, I'm going to go back home, up to the heavens. Be'ota Shah, the Medrash says, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bochev, God cried. And he said, Oili, Me'asiti, what did I do? I brought my divine presence down because of Israel. The Ach of Shechotu, and now that they've sinned, I've gone back. Schok legoyim, I'm going to be a source of abuse for the nations of the world. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to laugh at me. What happened to your Beis HaMikdash and to your Yerushalayim? What happened? So the Rav says that when I heard the Rebbe tell this story, in my innocence, in my youthful innocence, I asked my Rebbe a very simple question. Why does the Rebbe Shalom have to mourn for Yerushalayim? You don't want it destroyed? Don't destroy it. Who asked you to destroy it? Gain and Shakasha. Right? Very great question that the Rav, little boy, he asks his Rebbe. He says that his Chabadske Rebbe took a look at him and he said, you'll grow up and you'll start learning Chassidut Chabad. Then you'll understand the answer. The answer in a sentence, he said to him, which the Rav later understood. There are certain things on the face of this earth that can only happen if there is an awakening from below. God waits for it aruta dilitata, an awakening, an arousal that comes from us. He waits for us. There are certain things that he waits in great anticipation, and he hopes and prays that we will take the lead. And once we take the lead, then he carries it further. You may not have noticed, but I want you to notice it now. Tell you the Shmon Esrei that we say every day. Shmon Esrei, God is described in many ways. He is Konin Hadat, he's the one who gives wisdom. The Rebbeinu Shleilam is the one who is Goel Yisrael, he redeems Israel, he's Bonei Yerushalayim, he builds Yerushalayim, he's Mevarech Hashanim, he blesses the land. He does some, he's Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael, he's the one who heals the sick. There's one bracha that in its essence is so different than all of the other brachas, you just have to sit up and take notice. While all of the brachas describe God who acts, there's one bracha that's different. Havotzeh b'tshuva, the God who wants repentance. What impression does that leave you with? You know what impression you're left with? God is helpless. He waits for us to do tshuva. Nothing he can do about it. He wants our tshuva. He wants the awakening to begin within us. And if it will begin within us, then he's going to respond. Kol ha'poletahir, whoever comes to purify himself, Messiah lo ben hashamayim, receives the gift of aid and assistance that comes from heaven. But there are certain things in this world where the Rebbeinu Shlom waits for us, and he craves the awakening and the arousal that is going to come from us. We have to take the first step. We have to take the first step. If we don't take the first step, in a sense, we leave the Rabbeinu Shalom unable to act. That was the Medrash. So there was the great Medrash. Yirmiyahu is afraid to tell Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov what's happening. Shehayom et Yarei, because he was afraid that they would say to him, B'yomecha hayta lebaneinu zot, this happened to our children in your day? He's afraid of the judgment of all of history that has preceded him. So of all things, in a sense, I want to bring proof to the Medrash. At the very end of Torah, it says the following. The psukim are amazing, and then there's a Rashi. There's a Rashi. Oh, what a Rashi. It says the following. Vayal Moshe. Moshe went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo, to the very top of the mountain, Asher al Pnei Yerecho, that's facing Yerecho. Vayar Ehu Hashem, the last thing that God does is he shows him Kol Ha'aretz et HaGilad Adon. From Gilad all the way to Don. Kol Naphtali bet Eretz Ephraim u'Menashe et Kol Eretz Yehuda v'Yam Ha'acharon, shows him all the way to the Mediterranean. And the Negev and the Kikar and Bikat Yerecho Ir HaTmarim Ad Tzohar. And the last thing that the Rabbeinu Shem says to Moshe, the last communication. Vayomer Hashem Elav, God said to him, Zot Haaretz, this is the land, Asher Nishbati LaAvraham LiYitzchak LiYaakov Lemar, this is the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying, LeZaracha Et Neno, to your children I will give this land. Het Iticha Be'inecha, I have shown it to you with your eyes, V'shama Lo Tavor, you're not going to cross there. By Yomot Sham Moshe. And Moshe died. Says Rashi the following. And now as I think of it, I think Rashi is explaining a great deal more than I first thought. By the way, when you learn a Rashi, every time you learn it, you learn a pasuk, you have to be able to see something new in it. Rashi says the following. Hashem, the last communication, God's last communication to him is, this is the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Lamar, saying, Lezaracha et Neno, to your children I will give it, Het Iticha, I have shown it to you. Do you know why I have shown you the land? Kedesha Telech, so that you should go, V'toma la'Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and you should tell Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Shvua shenishba lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu kima. Moshe, you should be able to stand up. I want you to stand up before Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and tell them the oath that God made to you, he has fulfilled it. Look, that's why it says Lamar. You see, of all the strange things, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Elav Zot Haaretz, this is the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Lamar. Lamar. Lamar always means, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lamar. It says so often, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lamar. So that he should say to the Jewish people, who's he going to talk to now? The next pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Moshe died. So Rashi says, you know who he still has to talk to? He's going to come to Olam HaEmes, and he's going to meet Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and he says, the latest news, you know what the latest news is? You remember the promise that the Rebbeinu Shel made to your children? I saw it with my own eyes. They're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi goes on to say, but listen, there's a decree, Shishama Lo Tavor. You cannot pass, you cannot cross the... I think that what occurred to me as I'm talking to you now, the Pasuk says, the last Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem Elav Zot Haaretz Asher Nishbati Lavrom Yitzhak Liyakov Lemah Lezaracha Et Neno Hei Iticha, I've shown it to you with your own eyes, Vishoma Lo Tavor, you will not cross there. Isn't there something wrong that the last words that God says to his greatest servant of all seem to be very negative? You're not going there.
Why was that necessary in the Pasuk? Why couldn't God simply have told him, listen, go tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that I'm fulfilling my promise. I think that that's troubling Rashi, and that just occurred to me. I'm going to remember, when I come to this Rashi, I'm going to remember Hoshana Rabbah at the Israel Center. Because listen to what Rashi says. I will say to him, but there is a decree before me, Sheshama lo tavo, you shall not cross there. She'ilule kach. If not for that gzeda, you know what I would have done? I would have taken you across the Yarden, and you should see Jews established and planted in the land, and then you'll go tell Avram Yitzchak again. You know what God is saying to him? He's saying to him, I really feel terrible that you can't cross there, because if not for the fact that you can't cross, I would have taken you gladly across so that you can give Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov a report not only of the fact that Jews are poised to go into Eretz Israel, but you'd be able to come and tell them about what's happening in Eretz Israel, all the latest news, and how Jews have established themselves. I think Rashi is taking the sting out of the Shoma Lo Tavo, you shall not pass there. Cross over there. I think what Rashi is trying to say is that the Rebbeinu Shem, in a sense, there's a feeling of regret. I feel so bad that you can't go over there, because would you be able to cross there and you'd see them established in the land with your own eyes? My, what a report you would give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Do you understand now why Yirmiyahu is frightened? Yirmiyahu has to wake up Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to what? To tell them the tragedy that is befalling the children. Shehayom Ityadeh, he was afraid that they would say to him, this is what happened to our children in your days. Do you understand what it means for Moshe Rabbeinu to be given the last job? Go, Telech, you should go and tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The promise that God made, he's fulfilling it. Rashi says, Vayelech Moshe, at the beginning of Vayelech Moshe v'gomer. Moshe's going, you know where Moshe's going to? The good news, the Shvuah. Vayelech Moshe. That's Tavshin Muntet. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe goes with great joy to fulfill the last responsibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thrusts upon him. He is the bearer of great tidings to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's bringing the good news, the Shvuah. Abraham, Yitzchak, the Rebbeinu Shem promised you, he's fulfilling it. Vayelech Moshe. I like that one. I like it all year until I come to the next pshat on Vayelech Moshe. But now the time is coming to, since we have to begin to wrap up. In terms of the wrapping up, I think it's extremely important for us to realize that in the year ahead, there have always been in Jewish history. You know, I read the sermons of rabbis going back many years. Nearly every drasha, nearly every speech is, we're in a time of crisis. I think we have been in a time of crisis more than any other people in all of history. We've been around nearly longer than them all, and we're always in a state of crisis. But the fact is that the crisis that faces us during the course of the coming year is an extremely, extremely frightening one. Extremely frightening one. The battle for Yerushalayim, the battle for this city, is a battle that's raging right now. And it's a battle house by house. There are those who want to, God forbid, all the Eibush Derabim, who want to divide this city. I remember how painful it was for 19 years, from 1948 and 1967, when there was an ugly equation in the world. Two cities were divided through the middle, like a knife in their hearts. Yerushalayim and Lehavdil Elef Alfei Alofim Havdalos.
Berlin. In 1967, the equation came to an end as the walls that separated Yerushalayim, just a kilometer from here, those walls went down. But now it's already a number of years that the walls of Berlin have come falling and tumbling down as well. Can you imagine, God forbid, what it would mean if this becomes the only city in the world to be divided in half? It would be a tragedy of historic proportions. And I'm frightened. Will Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov say to us, Biyomecha hoysa lefoneinu, says this happened to your children? To our children, it happened in your days. You permitted it to happen. You didn't go out into the streets and claim Yerushalayim for all generations. There's an awesome responsibility that's on our shoulders. Nobody else is going to do anything about it. We're the ones that are going to have to be ready to go out there and fight the battle for Yerushalayim. And it's a real battle. It's a real struggle. Thank God, no bullets yet. But it's house by house. And there are those amongst us who would divide this city. A tragic mistake of such, a tragic mistake of such historic proportions. Unbelievable. And we're here. And once we're here, then that responsibility rests upon our shoulders. We say in Hallel, and with this I'm going to close. Maybe never thought about it. B'chatzrot Beit Hashem in Hallel, we say, B'chatzrot Beit Hashem, B'tochechi Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. What does the word B'tochechi mean? What kind of word is B'tochechi? I'll tell you the pshat of the word B'tochechi. What it really should have said in the pasuk is B'chatzrot Beit Hashem B'toch Yerushalayim. Finished. What's this B'toch Eichi? So I found in Parshat B'Shalach, it's a one line in a Ketav HaKabbalah where he says that there are, in Tanakh, there are words that are a composite of two words, and one of them is B'toch Eichi. And you know what the two words are? B'toch and B'tochi. And you know what the pasuk is saying? It's not enough that I'm B'toch Yerushalayim, that I am in the midst of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has to be B'tochi. Yerushalayim has to be in me. There may be others who can be in Yerushalayim without having Yerushalayim in them, but not us. We are of that community here that we are B'chatzrot Beit Hashem, and we are B'tochechi Yerushalayim. Not only are we in this city, but this city is an essential part of us, and the great historic responsibility of protecting the integrity and the sovereignty and the unity of this city rests upon us. Let us not shift the responsibility to anybody else. It's a responsibility that we all have to share together. Yehi Ratzon, let it be our prayer this Hoshana Rabba, that we should be able to stand up and execute that task successfully, so that we should be able from here to tell Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we protected Yerushalayim. We stood up for the defense of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim remains united. Kein Yehi Ratzon, Gemar Chatimah Torah.